time has come for drag queens to save the world.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good, for a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, new season now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
Everyone is talking about if.
I'm going to go on a limb here, but I like it. I love it.
It's original and heartfelt.
Ta-da!
And the must-see comedy of the summer that's perfect for the whole family.
This is just so exciting.
If. Ready PG. Now playing in theaters.
Today on the On Inquirer podcast, Jay Layman breaks down, how did Illinois lose to Iowa when they played so well for especially the second and third quarter? What happened late in that fourth quarter to lead to a loss that forces Illinois into a win or stay home situation? Need a win against Northwestern to get to a second straight bowl win. Jay Layman breaks down what he saw against Iowa. The good, which included some good play up front for the most part, some plays by the wide receivers, some plays not made by the wide receivers. What did Iowa do to break up the John Paddock magic? And what does Illinois do about the secondary right now? We dive into that. We look ahead to Northwestern, which has already made a bowl game, and what Illinois needs to do to win a third straight Land of Lincoln trophy. And we break down what Jay thinks of the Northwestern hiring David Braun long-term after what has been a breakthrough season, likely Big Ten Coach of the Year. Maybe some concerns he has for Northwestern in hiring a coach who hasn't coached at this level very long. And then we break down Ohio State and Michigan as well, who Jay Layman has winning the Big Ten East. That's all coming up next on the Illini Inquirer podcast. You've heard us talk about home field apparel since the start of the season. There are a lot of collegiate apparel brands out there, but we wanted to partner with home field because their designs are the best out there. Some of Illini Inquirer's favorites are the basketball ringer tee, the rose tee, and the 1980s long sleeve with the script Illini. It's great. Be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com, filter by Illinois, and see what we're talking about. And our listeners get an exclusive deal using code Illini23. Using that code Illini23 gets you 15% off your first order. We all know you're wearing Illini gear, so if you're in need of a refresh, we really think that you should check out Home Field Apparel, which has the best designs, and these shirts, guys, are really comfortable. Their designs are super unique, and a lot of thought goes into each concept. There's really nothing else on the market like what Home Field is doing. You can find them at homefieldapparel.com and use code Illini23 for 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. It's Monday. That means it's time to catch up with Jay Layman. And Jay, for the fifth straight week, we get a one-score game. Illinois ends up 3-2 in those because they were not able to close out Iowa, and Iowa wins in the most Iowa way. They finally get a punt return. Illinois is unable to tackle, and they win the game on Caleb Johnson's run. So how did Illinois not end up winning this game?
Yeah, it's a great question, but you kind of felt it when you were watching the fourth quarter. You're like, okay, what's going to happen? I was watching the studio with the Big Ten studio talent, and we were like, okay, what's actually going to happen here? And I think because of Illinois' prowess in close games, there was a confidence from some of the other people that Illinois was going to pull this thing out. But Iowa, you know, first and foremost, they stuck with the run game, and honestly, they got to run to pop late. That was really the big thing. It wasn't a bad call defensively. We just missed a tackle in the hole. And that was the key to burst it open. And then I would say if Brett could redo the last 4 or 5 minutes of that game from a game management perspective, he might do that. Maybe not wasting a timeout to think it over and maybe have a little bit better plan. And to be honest, it's what's really frustrating is that we didn't have a chance to make a play on the ball on those two last plays, right? Because he got batted down. I think it was by Evans by one, and maybe Higgins by the maybe Evans by both of them. But that was the disappointing part. We're just not able to finish down the stretch.
Yeah, Bielema did say there are things he wishes the staff could have done better down the stretch, whether it's play call. Those last couple of plays, like, I actually looked back at them, Jay. It felt like if John Paddock would have moved his read to the other side. Like, Tip Ryman was open on the fourth down. Maybe you could have swung it out to Reggie on the third down. But
sure.
What'd you make of that? Because obviously they weren't able to stop two runs, But in the last 5 minutes, what could Bielema have changed?
Yeah, so good point. I mean, first and foremost, they could have stopped Iowa from actually scoring. That would have been the number one thing. But offensively, I thought Isaiah Williams would have been open on that route. They ran a pick play. They got the matchup they wanted to on the fourth down. But, again, had to throw right into the line of sight. That's the drawback of Paddock, kind of more stationary target, smaller guy, got batted down. I think we really – you got to remember, there's not a full deck of cards we're playing with the running back situation. I think that played into it a lot, not having Caden Fagan, both on the fourth down play with Paddock. You know, they tried to go empty. Well, I'm switching back to the other drive now, you know, in the red zone where – you know, it was questionable whether Isaiah Williams was inbounds, out of bounds. They mark him short. And then we go with the sneak with no push at all, more kind of an alignment, get him wide and then try to do it. And I think John Paddock would actually made that sneak had he just gotten upfield after he spun out that first time, tried to get some more yards because he's a playmaker and whatnot. So I think that right there. And then also, so they could have done better on that. I think you might run Caden Fagan in that situation if you have Caden Fagan.
I agree with you. I think
he can get.
I think they might win that game with Caden Fagan.
I do too. I think you have a guy. I think Reggie Love played admirably. I think they probably could have stuck with the run game a little bit more to possess the ball more. We really got waxed on time of possession, especially that first half. They just kind of kept the ball away from us. Maybe not explosive offensively, but get 2, 3, 4 first downs and kind of keep the ball away from you. I thought Barry Lunny did a great job of actually taking what the defense gave him as far as the quick out routes to Isaiah Williams, some of the seam patterns in the middle of the field right over the top of the linebackers. So I thought actually it was a decently called game by Barry Lunny. Numbers very even. I think it was 280 yards to 281. Just one team made plays down the stretch and the other team didn't. We really outplayed Iowa the second and third quarters. No question we were the better football team during that time. But in the fourth quarter, we started to break down. I do think if Caden Fagan was in there, the play calls changed dramatically. We just didn't have as many cards as we needed to win that game.
Illinois is 4-2 in one score game. So I've seen a lot of people say, we never win these games. Well, they just did. Like they just won a bunch of close games. Yeah. But the fourth quarter during Brett Bielema's tenure has kind of been a struggle. If you go back, his first year lost a bunch of games in the fourth quarter. Is there any trend you're seeing there, Jay?
Well, one, I don't think we're the deepest of teams. So I think when you're not a very deep football team, sometimes you get exposed a little bit in the fourth quarter. Now, we have an FBS leading 4 fourth quarter comebacks, right? And I do think fan bases in general are cynical about their own team and performance in fourth quarter because inevitably the losses seem to singe our brains more than a win, right? And so we remember these bad times, and they're more frequent, and usually they are more frequent when you're an Illini fan than maybe the good times. But I would say, number one, it's the depth. Number two, up until this year, I mean, we have had first-year starting quarterbacks every year. We're looking at all 3 years, right? I mean, all 3 years. Yeah. And now we have a guy in John Paddock. I guess he's technically a second starting-year quarterback. And, you know, played pretty good down the stretch of 2 games, right? Because he started at Ball State. But all these different things kind of add up. So the quarterback piece. And then I think really not it's, you know, last year it was the defense that could make the plays that you needed to down the stretch. This year it seems like it's the offense that can make the plays and the defense can't. So kind of bringing those two together has been a difficult thing. I still think, though, I'm really excited, though, as far as Barry Lunny giving us a chance as a play caller. We saw some of the RPO action that we saw under UTSA, under John Paddock. So we've seen a little bit of what we thought we were going to get with Barry Lunny these past 2 or 3 weeks. And I think that's exciting to see that maybe our pass game, if you can get Isaiah Williams to come back next year, could take a big leap, the leap that we thought would happen this year, but maybe just took another year to get developed.
The Paddock magic wore out. I think we all thought it kind of would against Iowa's defense. Jay, what did Iowa do to give him fits? And what is the key of not getting your passes batted down?
Yeah, good question. So first and foremost, they got pressure, a lot of pressure. Paddock gets the ball out quick, and I give him a lot of credit. It's probably one of his best skill sets is he gets the ball out quick. But the safety to start out wasn't great, right? I mean, that's just the most Iowa thing to do is to start out a safety. I think somebody asked me what the score was going to be. I think I said 13-11 Illinois because Iowa was going to get a safety, right? And they got a safety. They averaged like a safety every three or four games, which is probably the highest stat around. So one, they got a little pressure. Two, there's two things. One, they didn't think the receivers could run by him, number one. And number two, they didn't think that Paddock would have time to actually get the ball out on a deep route, right? And largely they were correct. So their DBs, very, very handsy. They always are handsy. Even without their best DB, Cooper DeJean, I thought they played extremely well, their defensive backs, and they won in contested balls. I think we had six or seven legitimate drops early in the game. The Casey Washington, who I love Casey Washington, is a big drop late in the game, could have changed the game. But there were some contested balls, probably 12 or 13 of those pass breakups were – half of those were contested, half of those were just bad drops, you know. And yeah. And so they did a tremendous job of, you know, condensing down and making the windows tight and fighting on these pass plays. And they were willing to give up the 5 or 6 yard route to Isaiah Williams. They were willing to give up and say, we're going to play for another down. The run defense. But again, they're not going to give up the big play.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Jay, defensively, they're pretty good against an Iowa offense that obviously isn't very dynamic. But then they gave up those two big runs late in the game. I thought Dylan Rosiak was really good throughout this game. Yeah. Seth Coleman obviously got a couple sacks. Illinois got 4 sacks in this game, which was nice to see. The secondary is a struggle, man. They're struggling to tackle, struggling to make some key plays. The pass interferences are really hurting them. It seems like Aaron Henry's trying to find answers, benching Miles Scott for Mac Rosetich. Caleb Patterson comes in for Zach Tobey. We thought it would be a struggle in the secondary. It's been a bigger struggle than I thought.
Sure. Change personnel or change scheme. They've tried to do both. Early in that game, you know, we both saw it. Dropping 8 really wasn't effective against an Iowa quarterback like Deacon Hill, maybe because you're trying to help your DBs out and trying to create – you know, tighter windows because there's more bodies out there. But with Deacon Hill, who's about as immobile as a Big Ten quarterback as you're ever going to see, bring pressure. They started to do that later in the game, right? And I thought Odaluga played well before he got banged up.
Yeah.
I thought he was a big loss. I thought that Dylan Rosiak's been good all year. So I want to give – I mean, I think he's really improved as the year's gone out. He's probably our best linebacker right now. I know Tariq Barnes has been hurt largely a lot of the year. So as far as the linebackers go, James Crouch struggled a little bit on some of the man coverage stuff, got exposed a little bit on the tight end stuff. But that was kind of what we had decided to do at that point, was we were going to man up on some of the tight ends and we're going to bring pressure, which actually worked better. But as far as the DBs, it's been a revolving door. We really haven't had a guy at safety we can count on since Matthew Bailey went out. I mean, Xavier Scott could play it, but he's been moved around a ton, whether it's nickel or corner at sometimes. 47, that's all I know, I'm Rosetich. Is that how I say his name? You know, I think he's going to be a good player. He's just a young, inexperienced player. Doesn't have a ton of reps. You know, I think he could be a heady. Clayton Bush would tell you that, you know, although he's made some great run stops and run fits, he probably missed one when he had a chance to make a play down there late in the game on that big run. And so – what do we do? I think, one, we got to hit the portal and get some more depth and ready play guys, right? I mean, I think Zach Tobey's going to be a good player. I think a lot of these guys are going to be good players. But, man, we're not playing at a high enough level. And I like the way I like Taz's aggressiveness. I certainly don't want to take that away, but there's just too many penalties on that front. We can't give a team like Iowa, who really struggles to throw the football, 15-yard penalties just from throwing the ball up. So we've struggled on the defensive backside. I mean, that's been a big issue. And maybe not so much in the pass yards, but in the DPI for sure.
Seth Coleman has 6 sacks in the last 5 games, 2 multi-sack games. I thought he could take a leap this year. Maybe it took him 6 games to get there, Jay, but are you seeing anything different from him?
Well, one thing about Seth is I think the ability's always been there. We've always known that. We thought that Seth was going to be that guy that maybe could take that leap, like you said, be an all-Big Ten player. Might actually be an all-Big Ten player with the way he's played the last couple weeks. One, I think what I like about what Seth has done is Seth seems to me that there were at times as a younger player, I didn't know if Seth knew exactly what was going on all the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe he did, like as far as his assignment. It's kind of embedded into him now, right? And I feel like he's very comfortable knowing what he's supposed to do on the run game and the pass game. I've also seen him really pin his ears back. When he feels like it's a pass and he believes there's a sack, I see him with a different gear. And I think Charlie Bowen's done a great job developing him as far as pass rushes and getting off and winning those one-on-ones. Now, it all helps that you have Johnny Newton in there taking up double teams and you get a lot of one-on-one matchups. But I also have liked Seth Coleman's efforts. Some of those have been effort sacks too. He's given tremendous effort off the edge. So Seth's growing as a player, not only as his knowledge, but his skill. Hope we can keep him back for, I believe, his 6th year, correct? He has 1 year left if he wanted because of COVID. So hopefully we can keep him back for next year.
I hate to give away a piece I'm going to have once the season's over here, Jay, but 3 of my top ones are retain Isaiah Williams, retain Keith Randolph, retain Seth Coleman. Like more than any portal additions, just like last year with Johnny and Isaiah and Julian, keeping those guys would be priority number one for me.
That's going to be paramount. You know, and Isaiah, we haven't even talked much about Isaiah, but you know, his level of consistency at the receiver position has been remarkable, and his production. I think I could make an argument he's the 2nd best receiver in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. I mean, behind Marvin Harrison Jr. He had a game plan around him. He's a menace, and he makes plays. He even made plays against an Iowa defense that, you know, is tough to make plays against, and he gets a lot of yards after catch. So I think Keith, you might have a chance because Keith has just been hurt half the year. Let's be honest. I mean, Keith is not, although he's gutted it out, has not been able to really play at the level that he probably would want to play at because of that ankle. You know, and reading between the lines because of what Bielema says in some of the, you know, Thursday pressers, it sounds like Keith sometimes doesn't even practice the whole week, right? So he takes off a week to try to make sure he can play. And so the ankle's an issue. I think if you got Gabe and you got Seth and you got – I know Gabe's coming back anyway, but – and Seth and Keith back, you're still pretty solid on the D-line.
Jay, we're 1 game left. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Barry Lunney, and I agree with you. I think the last 5 games, he's done a really nice job. Aaron Henry, first year as defensive coordinator, how would you evaluate it so far?
I mean, we've taken our bumps. We knew we were going to take our bumps with a first-year starting quarterback and Luke Altmaier. We did. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take our bumps in our first-year defensive coordinator in Aaron Henry. Now, I'll make the argument that there's also 3 former defensive coordinators on staff, Brett Bielema, Andy Boo, and Jim Leonard. So it's not just, hey, Aaron Henry's whole decision. He's being mentored. I think with those different pieces, Brett felt like, hey, he's dynamic enough as a recruiter, and I think in time he's going to be the guy that we really want him to be. But there's always a developmental process whenever you get promoted to anything in life, not just football. And so I think he's learned on the job a little bit, and I don't think they expected I knew there was going to be a drop-off at the defensive back position.
Yeah.
I don't think they expected some of the injuries or the drop-off to be the cliff that it has been, because it's been a revolving door. And because the back end has not been solid, we have given up a lot of big plays at critical times. And people don't realize it's not just passing. It's the penalties, number one. It's also, number two, the run fits, right? We haven't been great in some of our run fits, and that's really been the difference in Clayton Bush. Why Clayton Bush, I believe, has gotten more time is because he plays the run better than most of our safeties. We saw Harper make a lot of plays. I don't know if he's banged up. I haven't seen Harper out as much out there, Nakario Harper, but I think Clayton Bush has been a better run fitting safety, and they've had issues stopping the run with the safeties. And so when you have Sidney Brown, who is equally adept at run stopping or playing man-to-man on tight ends or being a deep safety, and you have a shutdown top five corner in Spoon and Kwan, who is a Swiss Army knife. Now, if we knew they were going to drop off, I don't think they adjusted great to the drop off. I don't think they played to their strengths those first couple games, which is their front seven, and tried to protect those DBs as much as they should have. And so I think they're not the only reason we lost Nebraska and Purdue, which are the games that I still can't believe that we were that bad in. The offensive line had issues as well. It was more than that. But he's had to grow up a little bit. I think Aaron Henry would tell you, man, he's probably a different coordinator than he is in game 12 than definitely it was games 1 through 6.
Yeah. All right, Jay, here we go. For a bowl game, you got to beat Northwestern, who has already clinched a bowl game, and that's why David Braun has gotten the full-time job already. What do you think of this matchup against Northwestern? Illinois, a 3 or 4 point favorite early in this one at home, but Northwestern's playing good football. What's the keys for Illinois against the Wildcats?
Yeah, first off, Northwestern's a whole different football team than what they were at the beginning of the season. I mean, they were kind of reeling after everything with Pat Fitzgerald, and now David Braun's kind of got them headed in the right direction, hence he got the full-time job. This team has really changed since that Minnesota game in early October. They were down 21 points to Minnesota and came back in the fourth quarter, and Ben Bryant has made a lot of throws. Brendan Sullivan has won one or two games when he played, but Ben Bryant's their quarterback, and he's a legitimate Big Ten quarterback now. He's making all kinds of throws. They had some portal success in getting – they lost Malik Washington to Virginia, good receiver. Malik Washington's over 100 catches this year. They lost him to Virginia, but they got Cam Johnson out of the portal, and Bryce Kurtz is finally healthy. They got two legit receivers on the outside that I think are going to give the Illinois DBs some problems, and Cam Porter at the running back position finally healthy. They're running the football, so offensively they have a little bit of juice to them. Defensively, they're the same as they're always going to be, which is kind of the bend but don't break, try to make a play, not as stout as Iowa, but certainly serviceable on the back end and have some linebackers that can play. So they've gotten a lot better. I wish we could have played them in September. I wish we could have played Indiana in September. But hey, teams get better throughout the year, Iowa being one of those as well. And now I think we're going to be in for a real dogfight in this game, because they're playing some good football in the Big Ten West.
How important, Jay, is a bowl bid for this program?
I think it's huge. I think a bowl game sustaining momentum is such a big thing when we look at the big picture of Illinois football over the last 60 years, right? Can we sustain success? We've had a lot of stuff with not since Makovic have we gone to, you know, four straight bowl games. We back-to-back bowl games was 2010, 2011 under Zook, but it always seems like, hey, we have a peak of, hey, Sugar Bowl or Rose Bowl or something, and then we come back down. We kind of had that feeling this year, especially after Nebraska-Purdue, where we were one game away from winning the division last year, had a New Year's Day bowl, and now we're back here, right? And if we don't get a bowl game, you feel like you didn't finish the season like you wanted to. Anytime you lose the last two games of the season to division rivals, you don't feel that way. But I think if you can beat your rival, your in-state rivals, people you recruit against all the time, despite everything, you say, hey, we were still able to get 6-6 despite losing four tailbacks, despite losing three guys to the NFL on the defensive backside, having tons of injuries on the offensive line, and also a first-year starting quarterback. And guess what? We got a lot of guys coming back to build on this. So I think it's crucial.
On the Northwestern thing, David Braun's going to be Big Ten Coach of the Year, and he deserves it, given what he inherited and that mess that was up there. What do you make of Northwestern going with him long term? I'm kind of surprised that maybe they didn't go out into the market and see what was out there, but this is the first year at a Power 5 job for David Braun, and boy, now he gets the big job.
Yeah, he's never actually had a FBS coaching position until he was hired in February as the defensive coordinator. So I think David Braun has obviously coached well on the field. Yeah, my biggest thing is, what kind of connections do you have to go out and get a big-time offensive coordinator? I doubt that Mike Bajakian, O'Cornair there, is there next year, although Mike Bajakian's done some good stuff there the lot down the stretch the last 4 or 5 weeks. Who are you going to go hire? Who's got connections to recruit the players that you need to recruit? I think that's my biggest concern about David Braun. If you're not in this circle and you're kind of in that FCS circle, kind of going through I think it was North Dakota State prior. I don't know who his connections are. That being said, I understand from the university perspective, hey, you've got a president and an AD who, let's just say, didn't see eye to eye with their last football coach and how it all went down, right? So how many coaches are really willing to make that leap? I think it's also very difficult, Mike Kafka, who's a great NFL assistant, I think he would have been a great fit. But I think also it's tough when you have anybody that played under Northwestern or Pat Fitzgerald, there's going to be questions about hazing and what went on, right? So I think there's possible alumni that are good guys to get, but because of the situation that went down in the summer, it kind of cut all those options off in the administration's minds, and that's why David Brum probably got that job along with what he did on the field.
Yeah. All right, so we knew it would come down to this, Jay. Penn State wasn't able to get in the mix here. Number 2, Ohio State. At number 3, Michigan. The Wolverines are 4-point favorites at home. This is for a college football playoff spot. This is for the Big Ten championship. Kudos to Iowa for getting there. I just don't see Iowa being able to beat either of these teams. We'll see. But who you got in this matchup, Jay?
That's a great question. I think early in the year I would have taken Michigan, but I'm actually going to go with Ohio State. I don't think Michigan's playing as well as they have been playing at the quarterback position lately. Some of that's Sharon Moore being the interim coach, being an old offensive lineman. They ran the ball 30 times against Penn State. They didn't look overly sharp when they were playing Maryland last week. It kind of just seemed like when they were playing the game, when I was watching them, it was like, our coach is suspended. We just got to get to Ohio State. That's kind of what I felt like. I know they were playing Penn State and whatnot and dominating up front, but I don't think J.J. McCarthy, whether he's healthy or unhealthy or not, I don't think he's looked as sharp as he had previously. I mean, his completion percentage was in this world the first 6 or 7 games, and I don't think they're nearly as tested as Ohio State. Ohio State has – I shouldn't say nearly, because they both played Penn State. Ohio State has that road win against Notre Dame. Michigan's non-conference schedule was extremely soft. And when I look at the guy, I feel like Ohio State's finally healthy. They got Emeka Abuka back. He was banged up. He had 5 catches for 83 yards last week. Tommy Eichenberg is going to be back as well. He was out the last game or two. You've got Marvin Harrison Jr. And Travion Henderson makes this team different. When they have a big back like him that can run the football, that's when they're really dynamic. Without Travion Henderson, this is an average team. I think they get beat by Michigan. But I think this is the one they've had circled. I think Ohio State's going to win this football game.
Good stuff. We got a huge game this weekend for Illinois. Now 5.5-point favorites, by the way. But we'll see if they can get to a bowl game, Jay, and end the season well. It's been pretty good last 5 games, last half. The first half is, I agree with you, the regrettable one. But we'll talk about it
now. I think it's been – I want to give one more shout-out to the offensive line. I know you're wrapping up here. I think those guys were really maligned at the beginning of the season, and rightfully so. Even Bart Miller said that. I give them a lot of credit for turning the corner, because I felt like even against Iowa, they were able to move the ball, run the ball, and largely protect Paddock and get the ball out quick. Paddock got the ball out quick a lot. So I give a lot of credit to the offensive line. It just shows you on a Brett Bielema team, if the offensive line is not good, we have no chance. Yeah. If they're good, we're going to be in a lot of games.
Yeah, I thought Isaiah Adams had maybe his best game. Was pancaking people throughout that game. Jay Layman, you're the goods. Yeah. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate it.
Great stuff, as always, from Jay Layman. And we did a film room breakdown where Jay really gets into linebacker play. Dylan Rosiak had a really good game. He's played really well for Illinois this year. So we break that down, and we break down the 2 runs that really hurt Illinois late in this game. So we break down run fits and a lot of counter plays by Iowa and how Illinois did defending that, both the good and the not so good. So it's great hearing Jay Layman break down linebacker play. He's really excited to do it. Really excited that we did some linebacker stuff, but that's part of being a VIP member. And Jay is so good. I learn something new every time he breaks down film with me. So be on the lookout for that as well. We got plenty more coming on the podcast later this week. Some more hoops. We got a special guest talking about a really important topic for Illinois in the next month or so. That would be NIL. We will chat about that from the Illini perspective coming up. And we got plenty more coming to the site, including a big VIP offer. If you're not a VIP member, we have the best deal of the year coming up later this week. So be on the lookout for that. All right. Thank you for listening to the Illini Choir podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube as well. Subscribe to us. Hit the notifications bell. Hit the like button. We appreciate all the support on that side as we put up all our interviews and podcasts up on that side as well. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Choir podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.